Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trending.
Number one on what's trending, as I was laughing during the break, listening to that Colts video that we're not going to play on the show today until next week.
How ridiculous was it? Is that about another preseason game?
I think as a punishment, at some point, you should have to mimic the exact same video, not just the lyrics, but do the exact same motions as that guy, but for the Chiefs. Anyway, number one on what's trending, the Royals and Reds begin a series right here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll be able to hear the game as the Royals are in Cincinnati. Michael Lorenzen gets the nod. We had Vinny Pasquantino join us in the 11 o'clock hour. If you missed that interview, it'll be up on 96.5, the Fan's website, and the Odyssey app.
Love having Vinny on. Obviously, hope they win the series against the Reds, but we've said, of the six games they're getting ready to play against inferior opponents to themselves, love to see 4 out of 6. I think it's really important they get some wins on the board before taking on more difficult opponents. Next up on Watch, training Chiefs and Lions at Arrowhead tomorrow for preseason game number 2. Andy Reid yesterday told fans that he plans on having them play a half each. I would expect a little bit less than that overall. We'll see. And of course, you can catch Chiefs at 2 p.m. on 96.5 The Fan. And so the Royals will be on 610 starting at 4:30 tomorrow. But the Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on what's trending, just some media news. You guys saw the news yesterday that RG3 was let go by ESPN. Today, though, NFL Network and Good Morning Football, the show that's now out on the West Coast, announced Manti Te'o being part of the show. So Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, Jamie Erdahl, and now Manti Te'o. Talk about a throwback. We were mentioning documentaries and biopics and things like that earlier with the John Madden biopic coming out. That Manti Te'o documentary, I think, gave people a little bit new perspective on what was still one of the craziest stories we've ever seen.
It humanized him in a way I never, like, because at the time it's just like, dude, you got a fake girlfriend? And he was catfished and this whole thing. And he's that story is one of the more wild ones.
I'll never forget. It was when Deadspin,
of the last 25 years.
When Deadspin had that article. That was when Deadspin was relevant and they came burst onto the scene and they broke that story. I mean, I was an intern, I think, or part time. I remember being on that side of the glass where Drew's at. And when that story broke and all of a sudden I just took over the rest of the show. Everybody was stunned.
That was it. I mean, once you found out that the Heisman Trophy winning player who's getting ready to be a first round draft pick, and he slid down draft boards because of that. Do not deny any part of that. Had not made up, because that's not exactly what went down, but had a fake girlfriend. Absolutely wild story. Next up on what's trending, Connor Stallions. You remember the low-level analyst who was the mastermind behind Michigan's sign-stealing operation? He got a new job. He's going to be the offensive coordinator for his former high school, Mumford High. His coach, William McMichael, confirmed it to ESPN and said, quote, he might be the most hated man in college football. but the coaches and kids at Mumford High School love him, says the head coach. So Connor Stallings already got a new gig.
If I was a high school football coach in that same district or league,
watch your ass,
I
man.
Am checking everybody that's watching my practice, everything. I'm making sure there's not drones in the air. That, let's be honest, he's a cheater. He's going to find a way to cheat in high school as well. So if I'm a high school coach in that area, I'm on alert.
Kind of, I mean, I wouldn't let. I'd be looking for pinhole cameras on my players' helmets. That guy's definitely gonna cheat. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Lastly, on what's trending, I think this is a smart move by the NBA. They announced that NBA award voters are now officially prohibited from making wagers on NBA award categories.
That wasn't
during
illegal?
Any season in which they are voting.
Wasn't outlawed. I'm sorry, that wasn't outlawed.
No, I guess not. Think about it. So it's an NBA Comeback Player of the Year award, and you have a vote, and you're like, hey, man, I'm voting this way, and I know other voters, and yeah, you could cheat the system. So that is no longer allowed. A smart move by the NBA.
There was a huge surprise result in that just this previous year.
It should extend to anybody that works in the NBA, period.
If you work for the NBA, you shouldn't be – I know this sounds silly, but just like any other job. If you work for the entity, so like I know people who work for the Chiefs, they're not allowed to vote bet on the NFL during the season.
Correct.
They were allowed to, like, they weren't even allowed to gamble in Vegas at a roulette table until the final tick of the Super Bowl was done. So, like, why are we let them vote on an award that they're technically voting on? That's crazy.
I'm with you. I'm surprised that this was even allowed in the NBA for voting at all. Remember, the NFL awards are also voted on, you know, a lot more AP voting. So you're telling me we... AP voter, like you're an AP voter, let's say, you have a chance to vote for Comeback Player of the Year in the NFL this year.
You should not be allowed to vote, I agree. Bet on Comeback Player of the Year.
I agree.
You can bet on anything else you want. I don't care. You can bet on Bobby Witt Jr. in a homer tonight. Cool. You just can't vote on AP Comeback Player of the Year if you vote on
it. Now, it's a smaller group, but couldn't this extend, though, to, I mean, where's this end, though?
Because our former producer, Nick Schwartz, said he wasn't allowed to bet on the Heisman.
I was just getting ready to say, the Heisman Trophy Award. Now, there's, at this point, I think, 11, like, there's like 900 people that vote on the freaking Heisman Award.
Fine, you can vote on anything but the Heisman, though.
But how I guess what I'm saying, how are they? You know, we say the NBA, it's easy with the legalized markets for them to detect players that bet. How are they actually going to check for the 900 Heisman voters?
They might not catch everybody, but at least put the rule in place so if you find out, you can punish them. That's all.
Yeah, that's
some of it is phony, but you should still be, you know, like, make it a rule so that they're hesitant.
That's what's trending here on 96.5 The Fan. This is Cody in Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, our producer, Drew Nixon. We're going to be joined by Nate Taylor in studio in the 1 o'clock hour today. We'll have a brand new name for the 1 o'clock hour that was formerly Club 610. For those that'll be new to it, we have a laid-back hour. We hang out, have a few drinks, we talk some sports. In this case, we talk a lot of Chiefs football, and sounds like some trash talk as we have the fan day at the K coming up on Monday and the hot dog derby this year. Cody's trying to win his first one. He's going up against Nate Taylor. That seems to be the biggest challenger for you. You're not giving Bob any chance to beat you in this hot dog derby?
Nate's my bigger concern.
What events did you see Nick ran?
All of a sudden, you might be surprised.
Bob runs.
Bob works out like every day, too.
Yeah, he runs. He works out. I'm just saying, at the moment, my focus is on Nate.
You said Nate ran track in high school?
That was a long time ago, in fairness.
That's what he told me last
night. Sorry, Nate.
He also plays tennis multiple times a week. That's essentially just
running.
He's
in shape.
Just running.
You might want to start getting that Super Bowl foot
shape.
Massage before.
I'll give you a peek behind the curtain. I have sent a text to someone I know who works at the stadium to see if I can get in on Sunday before they're back.
There's no practice needed. What practice are you needing?
I want to know how fast
you're
I can go
running.
In that thing.
You're running.
It's a different kind of running. You know that.
How are you going to feel any better when you run in the hot dog?
I've run in it twice. You think that'd give me enough practice alone?
You got more experience in it than most people.
Doesn't help me. Yeah, yeah. Most people haven't run in a hot dog derby twice.
Anyway.
Soon to be three times. We'll see you on the fan day at the K, by the way, on Monday.
Yes.
Because that's when we'll be out there doing
it. The drive will be broadcasting live outside Gate D, is my understanding, on Monday night as well. And I know we'll be hopping on the air in the 5 o'clock hour. So more details on that, but looking forward to it. We'll get to all 32 here in about 8 minutes or so. But we know the Chiefs have a preseason game, which you'll hear right here on 96.5 The Fan tomorrow against the Lions. You've got a plan for Isaiah Pacheco. And the plan is what? Just don't play him?
Yeah. Correct. So, one, it's really not a plan for Pacheco as much as it is a plan for the rest of the running backs. I want Carson Steele to play the whole half. I want him to play as long as every single starter is in there, because I don't need to see anything from Isaiah Pacheco. I'm good. Also, why risk his injury? We just talked about this. Clyde Edwards-Helaire can't practice right now. He's still going through stuff. And again, we're sympathetic to that, but he can't practice. So like, you got to worry whether or not he's going to be available to you every game, any game, win and without the season. We don't know. So you got to deal with that part of it. And then you deal with the fact that, like, because of that, I don't love their running back depth because I don't trust it or I don't know it. What I'm willing to do with Carson Steele is know it. I'm willing to find out if the Chiefs staff is to play Carson Steele an entire half. Convince me, Carson, that we don't need an extra backup in addition to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And if for some reason he's not feeling well or things have flared up or his PTSD, whatever it is, right? Whatever comes into play, you are available to step in and we can trust you to take the normal 4 to 5 carries a backup running back gets, 3 to 4 passing routes that you go out on, etc. And that we don't have to go shopping for a running back once everyone gets into cutdown day or now with teams that have overly deep running back rooms. Because my fear is that it's that. But I'm actually willing to hold off the purchasing of another running back or the search for another running back. If I get a half a Carson Steele that looks good enough, I'll take the risk.
So we, of course, don't need to see Pacheco. He got 2 carries last preseason game. If he plays, we're probably seeing 2, 3, 4 carries max. So I'm not concerned if they make him active and he ends up actually getting a couple carries. That's fine. I'm with you, though, on this should be about Carson Steele on Saturday and finding out more. Well, he had 4 carries for 29 yards. He was one of the stories of the first preseason game. It's not so much the number of carries for me. I want to see him go up against ones or twos. That's
which he will if he starts the game.
Correct. But I don't know if he's start. Again, I don't need him to start the game. I just need him to, once the first drive or two is done and Pacheco's out of the game, it should be him next man up, and it will. I mean, Clyde hasn't practiced all week, so Carson Steele for this game is the number 2 running back going into the game. The question will be, can he do some of the same things that got everybody excited against better competition? With no disrespect, but it was great to see, but he was breaking tackles from third string guys and guys that may not even make an NFL roster. I want to see if he's as effective vision and also shedding tacklers when he's going up against guys that have tackled some of the best running backs in the league.
I'm 100% with you.
And so that's why you want to see it. I want to see it as well. I personally still think
you would just go out looking for a running back no matter
what. At the end of camp is over, but the end of the preseason, if there's a vet that gets cut, if there's a vet that's available on a conditional late round pick, then that is somebody I would still be very much interested in. And then I don't know the logistics of it. Maybe Clyde needs to go on the non-football injury list so that way they're not cutting him. He's still part of the organization, and then see if things work out as time goes on. I don't know the ins and outs of how that would work. And obviously him on a personal level, what is going on still,
okay, yeah.
Right? But we know he's spoken about what potentially could be ongoing now. And so you got to have a reliable number 2 back. And I don't know if there's something Carson Steele will do in this game that will make me feel just great about him being the number 2 running back, but he certainly has an opportunity to not only win fans over, but win the organization over. And I want to see, is he getting 8 carries for 20 yards in this game? Is he getting 8 carries for 50? You know, there's a big difference in how effective he can look.
Yeah, but that's why, because I'm not just dead set on go get a veteran running back, because running back is the one position. If this were left tackle, corner, wide receiver, gold, I wouldn't be saying this. I wouldn't be saying, you know, let's just see if Nico Remigio, you know, if they only had 2 wide receivers. No, it's not. I wouldn't do this at any other position on the field, I don't think. But you and I can both admit, you can find a running back 5th overall, 30th overall, 200th overall, or as an undrafted free agent off the street out of college. Running backs come from everywhere.
Sure.
Really, especially backup running backs. We're not asking to start. Like, this is like pretending Carson Steele couldn't be good. Isaiah Pacheco was a 7th round pick. He wasn't some highly touted superstar out of the draft. Their starting running back came out of nowhere. So if Carson Steele is the goods, and he very well might be, well, then I want to see it. I want to see it to make sure that they don't need to go get, I told you, their Carlos Hyde type. This preseason game is perfect for it. Sit Pacheco so he stays healthy because you're already concerned about your running back depth. Give Carson Steele the ball and Denaire. Give Carson Steele the ball for half. Give Denaire Prince the ball for half. The end.
No, I mean, then, I'm fine with the play. I'm fine with they should give him all the carries. I think there's some people that have already made up their mind. They're like, no, he can be the number 2 back. We're good. You're at least saying,
no, I want to see it.
See it. I mean, that's where I'm at. Like, you have to see it more. I want to see it against better competition. One preseason game of 4 carries, 29 yards, and first team reps in practice is not good enough for me to be like, sure, no problem, nothing to see here. He can be the number 2 back. I might be saying something completely different on Monday if he has 8 to 10 carries and he looks just as effective against number ones, well then sure, I'm going to feel way better. Also, let's see him in pass protection. We know that's a huge thing for Andy Reid in any offense, but
for him to actually put you on the field sometimes, you do have to...
Can he be reliable in pass protection as well? And that's the one thing that we don't have the answer to.
Is it weird that I trust him more to pass protect because they list him as a fullback first? They probably block. Fullbacks can block. I mean, that's the job, you know?
Maybe so.
But he didn't play... I mean, he didn't play fullback.
Correct. He's actually listed as a running back, I think.
He was very good in college, too, actually.
UCLA and... Ball State.
He ran for like over 1,500 yards one season.
Again, running backs... Guys who you think have no business becoming, and they'll be top five running backs for 3 years, and then they'll be out of the league. I understand how the system works, and so do the Chiefs. Preseason is supposed to be. They tell me all the time, and so I have to assume that Andy Reid and Brett Veach and all of these coaches haven't been lying to me for the last 10 years. And they say they use preseason snaps as an actual evaluation for where their roster is. Well, use it right. The correct way is to just have Carson Steele start the damn game. You don't need any more evaluation on Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, so what I've clearly they're going to use his evaluation. I don't know if it's like in order to evaluate him, he has to be the only running back that gets touches on the first drive. Right. If it's the first drive Pacheco and he gets two carries?
You only get 12 snaps. I mean, it's such a small sample size. Why cut it by 20% by giving him two less?
Yeah, my guess is they're going to work in both, or maybe we find out that Pacheco last minute's not active. I'm not as
gung ho about like he
can't
take a snap.
Oh my gosh, Pacheco can't have a single snap. They're going to get plenty of run with Carson Steele in the first half. I mean, I think it's very obvious. That's why he was getting first team reps. So you're going to get Carson Steele out there with the ones. That's happening. I don't know if it's the first snap, Cody, or the fifth snap of the game, but he's going to be out there with the ones, and we'll have a much better feel about what to expect with the number two spot. All right, let's go around the league a little bit though. All 32. On a Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. So you guys probably saw a couple days ago the Patriots trade one of their best players, period, on the roster away to the Falcons. Matthew Judon, he's likely to get a brand new deal. One of the better pass rushers in the league. No, the Chiefs did not need to trade for him. Let's just start there. They gave money to Chris Jones. They were not going to give up a third round pick for Judon and then give Judon a top tier contract. That would have made no sense. But I want to talk about the Falcons. Their favorites in the NFC South. They add Judon. Yesterday, they add Justin Simmons.
I can't believe Justin Simmons was still on the street.
To sign. That defense is going to be way better. Plus, we know they add Kirk Cousins to the picture. I think they have an offensive coordinator who will utilize Bijan Robinson. The Falcons.
Kyle Pitts.
I'm not telling you they're going to the Super Bowl, but the Falcons are winning that division, and they will end up, you tell me if you think I'm way off, they're going to be one of the top three seeds in the NFC, if not a top two seed in the NFC this year.
I think Kirk Cousins has proven in the last 5 years, his teams hang there at the top of the win column pretty consistently. The question mark will be the head coach. Like, is he, because it's more of the we haven't seen them fail end of things than, you know, at least with the Falcons and what we were getting out of Arthur Smith. You and I both thought Arthur Smith stunk, and he did stink.
Because I look at the top seed, so the Niners likely could be the number one seed, the Niners and the Lions, but NFC North, really tough division.
I think it's going to be hard in the North.
So the Falcons are in a much easier division. I could see the Falcons racking up 12 wins to be a number two, number three seed in the NFC.
I just don't feel like I know a ton about whether Raheem Morris will make this thing all work, but we'll see. I definitely do not. I wouldn't rule it out. If you made me bet if they're a top three seed, I would probably take that bet and say, yeah, over seed 3.5. I'd say, yes, they're higher than that seed, at least based on that. But I mean, that's just Kirk Cousins alone to do that.
It was me that would have said it, I think. But I can't remember if I said if they get Kirk Cousins, the Falcons will be in the NFC title game. I can't remember if I went as far as to say that or not. But I think it would have been you.
I'm going to do every fan base a favor for my All 32. And I'm going to tell you to avoid one conversation. Because, yes, I heard it too. Here was Tom Brady once again not letting go of playing.
You're just flexing for social media these days. I just want to make sure all those young bucks in the NFL know that if I still wanted to come out of retirement.
All the way out. Go way out, way out.
Oh! They still got something to deal with.
I just want them young bucks to know that if I wanted to come out of retirement, I'd still stick it to all of them. Shut up. Don't do yourself a favor, okay? If you're one of these teams and your starting quarterback goes down 2 weeks from now, or week 8, or week 10, and it was a really good year. It was the year. Everything was going together, and you're like, maybe Tom Brady could just come and save it all. Don't do this to yourself. Just accept the loss of the season with your starting quarterback go down. Tom Brady just wants to keep his name in the mix. And honestly, I think part of this is because Patrick Mahomes. I think if the level of
quarterback,
Patrick Mahomes wasn't in the league, he wouldn't still talk this much about coming back in the league. He just wants his name still out there while Patrick Mahomes does special
he's
things.
He's used to being the quarterback everybody for the last 20 years has talked about. Now his career is over. He's 47 years old. He's going to make over $300 million to be a broadcaster over the next 5 or 10 years for Fox. And maybe once he starts broadcasting, that changes. But right now, I think you're right. He misses the spotlight, clearly. He wants to still have his name out there. And yeah, maybe, Drew, this goes with Patriots fans. They feel threatened by what the Chiefs are doing.
Yes.
Maybe that's a certain extent for Brady. I think more than that, though, it's just that he misses being the talk of the town, if you will. And that's not the case right now. Now, once he gets back in the booth, if he's good or bad, people will talk plenty about him. But he's 47. We don't need it. He's 47. We don't need to do this.
I do really think that there's a level in which
I do think he'd be better than Daniel Jones, but you know,
if Deshaun Watson goes down, why would the Browns not just call him?
Don't do it.
In all honesty,
don't do it to yourselves.
The Browns first quarterback that gets hurt. You're right though. The first quarterback that gets hurt.
That's going to be
that
a story.
Team. There will be stories and rumors and rumbling.
Can we do a bonus one before Drew does it? Is Brandon Ayuk ever going to get traded?
No,
like just real.
I don't know.
Just real quick.
I'll go back to the original.
John Lynch spoke again today, and he's like, "We're not desperate, but." Motivated or something to bring him back.
It's been 3 weeks.
This is nuts. I thought he was traded. Like, people were saying he was actively traded like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. He was.
Then he was staying, and now the Steelers apparently have a deal that it's one call away or whatever.
It never made sense to trade him. And so I was stunned 2 weeks ago when it seemed like it was about to happen. I didn't get it. And then now here we are, and it still hasn't happened. I don't think he's getting traded. I'll stick with that.
I think if he would have agreed to go to the Browns, he'd have been gone. They don't want to make a trade in which they do not get a wide receiver.
Yeah, and he wants to go to a winner as much as he wants to get paid, which just isn't going to happen. For me, the Cowboys could be in the market for a quarterback, by the way. I don't think that they will be, but Stephen Jones and another side of things with the team wants CeeDee Lamb to get 12 to 15 targets per game. He's a really good wide receiver, but he basically said along with this is in reference to, if we're going to pay him as much as we're going to, he better have that many targets.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's really good, but
that's a bold thing.
I think it's a bold thing to say that because we're paying him, he has to get more targets. He should just get the targets because he's really good. It doesn't seem like a thing that you need to say.
The Cowboys, this is why they're a joke of a franchise. And until the Jones family doesn't own them, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. Or until, I don't know, which is never, because Stephen Jones is obviously going to own this team after Jerry passes. So that's forever. They may never win one again. They refuse to pay anybody. They refused to pay market value for CeeDee Lamb. They didn't want to pay Dak Prescott the first horse. They don't want to pay him the second time. They don't want to pay anybody.
The thing that's funny, too, is that, by the way, if you don't want to pay Dak Prescott, who the hell is throwing him the ball anyways? And even if he's targeted 12 to 15 times, it has to be a good throw.
This goes back to the bad ownership part that we talked about with the Panthers.
Who are they getting, though?
Your owner should never be telling you how to coach football. I don't tell you how to run your oil business or whatever, so shut up when it comes to who should be getting targets in a way for us to win.
Yeah, but
that's how bad ownership
operate.
Works.
I know, but like, that's not changing. That's how Dallas is operated. That's their problem, but that's how they've operated forever, really, right? And that is, yes, that's a terrible. Look at Dave Tepper out in Carolina. It seems like that might be what he wants to do, and that's a mistake. We'll see if he adjusts.
And Tepper's not Jerry Jones. No, at least Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones.
We thought, you know, we'll see. That at one point in time, everybody thought the Niners owner was way too involved. And to his credit, he finally backed off. He hired John Lynch and smart football people. And look at the success they've had. I know they don't have a ring, but they've been very successful. One of the better run organizations over the last decade or so. But yeah, of course, like you said, who's going to throw the CeeDee Lamb? You mean like beyond this year? Because obviously Dak is playing this year, no matter whether he gets a new deal before
Jerry
the start of the season.
Jerry Jones loves Shador. I'll be honest. The Cowboys are too good to get Shador in all likelihood. So you might have to give up CeeDee Lamb in order to or your entire future, essentially, to get Shador, and if it doesn't hit, then you're done. It is funny. Stephen Jones did say, he openly admitted, I told Mike McCarthy things can't change. He actually said that in the interview. Like, I told the coach, you're not changing anything. CD's getting the ball this many times.
It do. It really do.
It's the Joneses.
They're just...
It really do.
Jerry, it was Stephen Jones that said it.
If your owner wants to meet with you about on-field football player football stuff, like Tepper was reportedly doing for the last head coach, Frank Reich, where they'd have meetings and he'd go over play calling with him, get out. Get out. That is a terrible position to be in. Dave Tepper doesn't know how routes work.
That's why I don't.
Need his opinion.
This is why I don't buy the Belichick's going to coach the Cowboys next year stuff. Why would Belichick leave the money in broadcasting, way less stress, dating a 24-year-old to go be the head coach for Jerry Jones, who is never going to stay out of your way? I don't care who you are. Never staying out of your way.
They're in the news for all the wrong reasons. And then whoever it was, yesterday was like, should Deion Sanders be the next Cowboys head coach? Like, all of the wrong reasons they're in the news for, it seems like.
Oh, I mean,
Shiloh.
I'm all here for the drama and entertainment. If you tell me that they fire McCarthy, hire Deion, draft his son. Oh, I'm here for that.
I'll watch.
Hard Knocks.
Okay.
Hard Knocks. It would have to be.
And if Jerry wants attention, that'll get you some attention.
Hard Knocks would have to.
I don't think you're going to win any football games, but that would get you some attention.
No, but it'd be entertaining as hell.
I mean, I want that to happen just for the pure drama and entertainment. That would be incredible. That's all 32 here on Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Up next, we had Vern join us yesterday. He said something that I think is really smart about this rotation that doesn't get discussed enough. We'll tell you what that is next.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Coming up in 30 minutes, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, are going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour for the renamed 1 o'clock hour. It's no longer Club 610. Obviously, we're on 96.5 The Fan. We have three finalists. We have determined a name. We'll discuss that at 1 o'clock with Nate Taylor. We're going to have some drinks, talk some Chiefs football with Nate.
First time in the club for Nate.
That's right.
He's been on the show plenty, but he normally comes on at a regular time. That's on a true Tuesday. He comes in at 1 o'clock, or he comes in on a Thursday. Well, you know, like, he doesn't come in at Friday at 1. I just figured camp was over. Who could use a drink more than somebody who had to go up to camp like 20-plus times? That's it. Chiefs reporters, that's who could use a drink. So I figured we'd get Nate in for a little no longer Club 610, RIP. That'll be in the Cody and Gold Garage sale next year, by the way.
I think so. I think so. Has to be.
What a waste of money. I ordered that thing, and then all of a sudden now we're 96.5 The Fan? If I had known, I might have waited.
No, you wouldn't have.
Or I'd have made something more generic. Maybe I'd have made an Odyssey neon sign. Probably not, but, you know, anything's possible.
If you didn't hear earlier, the three finalists, which then got kind of narrowed down to two with some negotiating and bargaining. The two finalists were the Fan Club and Club Fantastic.
Either way, that's one of the new names. I shelved the buzz above my personal preferences for a possible naming of something later.
Yeah.
And then we decided Club 965 was too close to the old name, you know? we don't want to do just clubbing the numbers again. We wanted it to freshen up a little bit. Drew says he'll have new music for us in the 1 o'clock hour.
So we'll find that out together in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, we're about 10 minutes away from the random question of the day. But this time yesterday, we had Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, in studio with us and talking about the rest of the way, the final 41 games or so, and all the spotlight being on Seth Lugo and Brady Singer. He brought up one point that I don't think anybody talks enough about another pitcher in this rotation. When you look deeper at his numbers, why you should feel better about if there is a serious problem with your number three starter, why it's not that big of a deal. Listen to what Vern told us yesterday.
But even if you're nervous about Brady, you know, I heard Dusty and Fesco talking about Brady Singer's Tua. I think that's kind of a reach. But let's say you are that concerned and you don't think Brady can win in the big moments. Okay, how about Michael Wacha then as your number three? Michael Wacha's been one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball for the past 3 months. He's a former NLCS MVP, so fine, you're nervous about Brady. Pretty nice to have Michael Wacha as an option two as your game three starter.
And nobody talks about Wacha.
I'll be honest, I am just as guilty of this, so this might be our fault too. Like, because sometimes we can influence, right? We talk about the things other people are, we think, interested in talking about, and then sometimes we bring you the things we think you should be interested in. And when he said walk, I'm like, wait, has he been as good as Vern is saying? Because we have spent a lot of time talking about their heavy hitters, Lugo, Reagans, and Brady Singer. And then I looked up Michael Walker's numbers only to realize, yes, he has been as good as most of those guys. Maybe not as good as Cole Reagans, but he's been on par with Brady Singer. So if we are worried about Brady Singer, I guess we don't even need to be, because there's a guy right behind him ready to fill in those roles. In his last start, Michael Wacha, in a win, went 7 innings, only allowed 2 earned runs. In his start before that, Michael Wacha, in a win, went 6 innings, only allowed 2 earned runs. They have won. He has gotten a win in 7 starts Michael Wacha has made. 8 of the last 9 starts Michael Wacha has made. He has lowered his ERA to 3.91 to 3.5. He's been as good as the other guys. So I guess I'm fine. This gave me so much more confidence about the rotation somehow, because I was really focused on the recent struggles of Lugo and Singer.
And he pitches tomorrow, by the way. So tonight's Michael Lorenzen here on 96.5 The Fan, and then tomorrow Michael Wacha is going to pitch. You're right about the ERA. If we're just basing it off of that, in all of baseball at this point, not even just the 2 month stretch or 3 month stretch Vern was talking about, but the entirety of the season, Michael Wacha has the 27th best ERA. Out of all pitchers, he is at 27.
Some other metrics have him as a top 20 starter in baseball this year. So I didn't even realize.
We haven't talked about him enough, probably, and maybe this helps alleviate some of the concerns if you have them about your number three starter, Brady Singer. But as we said on Monday's show, we're talking about the number three starter. There are three teams, maybe, that you could say their number three starter is in a better spot. All right, well, then now go to the number four. I can tell you one thing definitively. No other team has a better number four starter right now if you're going to slot Wacha as the four. Because I just told you, in all of baseball, he's the ERA-wise, the 27th best pitcher.
He hasn't allowed, so, you know, the metric we would always say, like a quality start. He hasn't allowed more than 3 earned runs since May 4th. May 4th, Gold. So he had, like, kind of a rough, rocky, rough is so relative. He had an okay April, in which he finished with a 4.24 ERA. He then, his very first start in May, he got shelled. He went 3 2/3 and he allowed 7 earned runs. And since then, he has been rock solid. I told you, the Royals have won 8 of their last 9 starts. For as much time as we spent on Singer and Lugo, and we did it the early part of this week, in a weird way, and maybe shouldn't, that is, I have just washed those fears away. I had not thought that hard about Wacha until Vern mentioned it. Because I'd focus so much on those three and the importance of those three and winning these series based on those threes. And for a while, I was focused on Marsh because he was struggling a little bit. And then they brought in Lorenzen. Marsh was great last night, by the way, in AAA. So I was like, oh, you know, look, Lorenzen will help fill some of that goal. And, you know, Wacha's, I was always like, Wacha's there. Former NLCS MVP. He has pitched in World Series. He has pitched in high leverage playoff games. If you get to a playoff series and you got to go 1-2-3 in starters, and your thought is, oh no, it's the Red Sox and it's all lefties and we can't let Singer in there to get in trouble, who cares? They can just start the former NLCS MVP in Michael Wacha. I wasn't thinking about them having the flexibility they have currently.
Yeah, or they start Brady Singer, and then if it's rough after one inning already, you're going to Michael, you bring in Michael Wacha at that point, even if it's game three of a best of three series or something like that, if it got to that point in a wild card round. So yes, Michael Wacha has been better than we realize. I'm just saying, one of us on the show has had him on this fantasy baseball team all year, just saying. Anyway.
Is that team still really bad?
One spot out of a playoff spot. I've recovered.
Wow,
I think I'm going to miss it by like three games.
The bounce back for Alex's personal. He sent out an invitation like a day before baseball started.
Yeah.
He was getting the itch. Mm-hmm. Got a team together on
got
Twitter.
Off to a terrible start.
Yeah, and, you were pretty awful
there
for a while.
One spot out of a playoff spot, and we were getting texts on the text line making fun of my team. And we're probably still going to miss the playoffs. but we recovered.
But battled.
We battled. And Michael Wacha has been a big part of that. Okay.
He's the only
only Royal on the team. I had MacArthur at one point. He's not on the team anymore.
Is he cut or just on the bench?
He's not on the team anymore.
Mm. Can't get you the saves. That kind of hurts.
That's right.
Can you get holds?
You can. Oh. But I have other guys for that.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get to the random question.
For you. That was
okay.
I hadn't heard that yet.
We'll work on that. We'll work on that.
Yes, we will.
We'll work on that.
That really threw me off. Random question. For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over on the text line.
Should have had an echo.
913-586-7965. And, of course, you can follow us on the video streams, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Find them on 96.5 The Fan's social media channels. That's where we'll be streaming the show. The question I have for you today relates to a news story that came out a couple of days ago about weddings. We're getting ready. You know, it's wedding season. Like, we get into that this time of year, and then I know some people are anti-fall wedding. I think it's fine. You're allowed to have fall weddings. You cannot dictate 6 months out of the year in which people are not allowed to get married. If you work in football, you don't have to get married in the fall. You can't dictate it for the rest. But here's yet another problem. This is a recent trend that has been taking place in the younger generation, in which if you come to the wedding, you pay your spot. A couple went viral a couple days ago because they were charging their guests $333 per person in order to attend their wedding. Is this fair or foul?
Of course it's foul. Don't have the wedding. Sorry. Like, weddings are very expensive. If you cannot afford the wedding that you have to charge your guests, then you need to either not have that wedding or scale it the hell down. No, absolutely.
Can you just scale it down by determining who's willing to pay $300 to come to your wedding?
No. People will hopefully get you a gift and all that, but you not charge your guest any money, let alone $300. What is for dinner? What is being served? What kind of alcohol is on tap?
I mean, pretty good stuff, but, you know, the venue has cost and other things. Flowers cost money.
I'm not saying weddings aren't ridiculously expensive. Crazy. It's actually absurd. But if you...
Isn't your sister getting married soon?
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right. In November. It is very expensive from what I can kind of tell from the early conversation.
From the outside.
I'm not involved at all, but like, yes, very
expensive.
But
your twin sister's getting married.
It's my twin sister.
It seems like you'd have some knowledge.
Currently planning bachelor party stuff. Anyway, but if you can't afford the wedding, then you gotta scale it down. So this random question, of course it's foul.
Foul. So here's... I know that that's the initial instinct. The initial instinct to be like, this is ludicrous. You can't charge me for going to my wedding. And then I thought about the people I would pay for. If Alex, you said, hey, I'm getting married, it's $300, I'd pay it.
Oh, you never let me hear the end of it.
Well, that's different. We host a radio show. But I wouldn't bury all my friends, just you for the show. But like, if your sister said $333, Alex, you'd pay it. You'd pay the money. Here's the argument I will make for it. I wouldn't do it. We didn't charge people to go to our wedding.
Of course not.
Generally, I think you're probably right, and the gut instinct is that this is foul. I heard one argument for it that actually does kind of make sense, and I want you to hear it.
Okay.
The argument for is, think about the amount of time you spend hundreds of dollars for entertainment purposes. Let's say to go to a Chiefs game. No sweat off your back, right? To pay $300 to go to a Chiefs game, get a couple of beers, have good times with your friend, and be entertained. Is that not what a wedding is? A wedding is a time to hang out with your friends, drink alcohol, eat food, and be entertained. You are all of those things for an entire evening for $300. Does it not follow the same entertainment timeline?
I disagree. No, it does not. For a couple reasons. One, when I spend $350 at a sporting event, I am picking the food. I'm picking everything about it. You're telling me to pay you money and hope that you just throw a good party. Nope. So that's another problem.
You're saying there's a risk. I mean, but you don't know that you're definitely... You're going to get... You can be assured that you like the food and the drink, but you can't be assured you like the entertainment at a football game.
No.
Maybe now, but how many times did somebody go to a damn Brody Croyle game or watch Scott Ellerton get his ass kicked? You sometimes spend money on a bad product.
If you're spending $350 to watch Scott Ellerton pitch at a Royals game, God love you. God love you. But no, of course, you cannot charge people to go to your wedding. Absolutely not. And also say this, if anybody accepted this invite and paid $350, you definitely aren't bringing a gift or buying a gift off the registry. There's no real reason. If all of a sudden you realize, hey, we can't afford the wedding, then just have a family-only type of celebration or go elope. You know, and nobody's going to be shaming you for not being able to afford a wedding. But you can't throw the wedding of your dreams and then hope everybody else pays for it.
I do think this is a cap. Like, I don't want you having, like, dove ice sculptures, okay? Whatever you're charging me, it's got to be for the nuts and bolts. You want, like, the... Like, you want Casey Wolf to come to the wedding? I'm not paying for that, okay? I'm not interested. Like, can I get an opt-out policy?
You want a breakdown of where the money's going.
If I'm paying for it, I wouldn't mind a brief rundown.
This is why you don't charge your guests to go to the wedding.
You know what? I think if you were to actually pay that, I think that's a fair request, Cody. I need to know where my money's going, actually.
I don't think that that's...
And
I don't think that's crazy.
I don't think it is either, if you actually were to pay it. But no, look, if I got an invitation, other than anybody, other than maybe my...
You would go for your siblings or your best friends.
Yes, other than my best friends, I'm sorry, I'm not going to the
wedding.
You
know how
I
know more people would pay this than you think? They would like, some people would like raise a stinker to this thing is try to go out of town for a wedding or try to like have a wedding that's a little more, you're like, this is going to inconvenience people so much. There's just no way they're going to come to this thing. And they will. Somehow they'll be there. They'll complain or they'll do this thing, but somehow they'll be there. And that's the part that like I think you're like people don't think about is more people will show up than you think.
Wait, so I have I have to pay $350 and pay for my gas or travel or whatever.
No, Cody's just saying that people would spend over $350 if they travel to a wedding anyway.
You're going to spend $350 on a bachelor party. You won't spend it on the wedding?
That's not like, the same thing.
But see, you're paying $350 to hang out with people, drink, and be entertained. Financially, it's kind of the same.
If I'm spending $500 to be part of a bachelor party with nine of our friends or whatever, not the same thing as doing that plus spending $350 to go to somebody's wedding. And I don't know the percentage. I would guess the amount of weddings where people have to travel to go, like, I bet you it's a smaller number. Relatives do, but like I'm talking about the majority. Let's say you invite 150 people to your wedding. You know, of those, how many are traveling? I bet you it's a smaller percentage than you think.
From the 816, I'll pay $2,000 to attend the Travis and Taylor wedding. Yeah, sorry,
people
are crazy.
People would spend a lot of money to attend that wedding.
Why?
People would. They want to say they were at the wedding.
I'd pay for my plate. If they said $350, I'd pay to go.
It's gonna be more than that. But they
but what?
I'm willing to go up to.
You don't get to celebrate. There's
$700.
There's no way that if you paid $2,000. It literally is to attend the wedding, and then you're asked to go. You're not celebrating with you're not dancing with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift afterwards.
Dude, I'm on the dance floor. If I'm paying for the money, I'm there. I'm a wedding guest. There's a chance we could be.
There's no way.
First off, I've been on a dance floor with Travis Kelce, so it wouldn't be the first time. Let's establish that, Drew. We're pretty much boys.
It's a nice flex.
It was
a good flex.
It was literally, he was like, kudos to him. He was like last man standing in an American Royal when he was probably like fourth year in the league. And I was still there. Like, that's it.
Someone said our friends Dana and Parks were talking about the same story.
Really?
And that the couple received $75,000.
That's a hell of a wedding, a $75,000 wedding.
That's insane.
I'm just telling you, people will pay it. More people would pay it than you'd think. You can throw it back. Now, I want you to spend every penny. This cannot be we spent $55,000 on the wedding and we're pocketing $20,000. I want $75,000 worth of value. That is the only thing that is important to me, is that this isn't a... And here's the other problem is if I spend the $350, the quality of your gift is probably going to go down.
No, there's no gift, there's Cody. No gift.
That's what Gold said. Yes, I agree.
There is
no gift.
You can't expect me to pay $350, which is also just not happening. And I'm going to get you, I don't know, let's call it a $150 gift. No.
Unless you're asking like celebrities to attend, you should not have any expectation.
Also, if you're a celebrity, you're not charging people to go to your wedding because you're, you know what I mean? Like that's something you wouldn't do in that circumstance.
It's a lot of money.
Cody doesn't seem to have a problem. So if I have a wedding, Cody, I'll send you a bill, man.
No problem.
You'll have no problem.
You know, I haven't checked in on you in a while. How's the dating life?
Good. Not on the app at this present second. Not on Hinge right now.
What I heard the other day was maybe you were out looking. Maybe dates had been happening and you weren't talking about it on the show.
I had some people slide into the DMs recently, but that's where we're at.
Did you respond to said DMs?
No. Some people, I should clarify.
Some people you did respond to.
Yes. When does that end? Does the cutoff be in week one? When you're like, you know what?
He's going to have to alter his rule.
Yeah, that's exactly.
For those first-time listeners, right? Maybe you're the first-time listener. It's 96.5 The Fan. Alex has had a long-standing rule that starting week one of the NFL season, he doesn't date. It's not that he's never gone on a date during that time, But for the most part, he locks it down. It's football season, which means it's not dating season.
We're focused
dating
on football.
Season is, all right? Yeah.
We're focused on football.
Now, I think as time goes on, life changes, rules change. This are you true. Willing to finally make an addendum to your rule?
For the right person.
That you will do some dating during football
for the
season.
Right person or someone that I'm interested enough in? Sure, of course. Why wouldn't I?
How do we determine?
But I'm like, not. I'm
I was going to say, how much is it going to take for you to direct your attention? You want to date on like, the Chiefs. I don't. You wouldn't be able to do it Thursday night if the Chiefs were playing. But Thursday night, you want to watch a great game. It's like right. It's like Niners Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the only time that you can go out on a date with this person this week is a Thursday.
If it's the first, it's the first date and it's a crappy Thursday night game. Maybe, but if it's Panthers, Patriots,
go on the date.
If it's Panthers,
I'm begging you, go on the date.
If it's Panthers, Patriots, there's a chance.
If you don't
otherwise,
care about her enough, more than the Panthers, Patriots game.
If it's Thursday night football and it's Bolts, it's Lamar Jackson versus Joe Burrow in November, which is a rarity anyway, because Burrow might not be healthy. I'm not going, but there's always an exception though. Meaning I told you, depending on what first date. So let's be honest. If we're being honest with ourselves, first date, a lot of it is based off of what?
Looks.
So we start
there. So
she's
there. A 10. Alex will miss. Well, would you miss a Chiefs game for a 10?
No. Like who's your dream woman?
A 10. Sure.
Yeah, obviously for
Sydney,
somebody.
Not her specifically, but if she looked exactly like Sydney Sweeney.
That'd be weird.
Would you miss a Chiefs game for her?
Depends on which, like not the Super Bowl.
No, but a regular season game. Raiders.
Not the opener, the Thursday night, September 7th.
Raiders regular season.
A Black Friday
Wednesday.
Game?
Yeah, Black
sure.
Friday.
Yes.
That's a weird date time, but you
sure.
get the point.
Yeah, of course.
That's a particularly
but,
weird.
But Thursday night, September 7th, Chiefs unveil the banner. It's at Arrowhead as Lamar Jackson comes to town to play Mahomes. That's a no date night.
What if she wanted to go to a hangout spot, like a bar, and just watch the game with you?
Eventually, not on the first date, though. Eventually.
I don't think you want to show that version. I don't think Alex wants to show that version. Like, full, active Alex watching a Chiefs game.
I've been on Twitter
You got to wait a few days.
I'll be on my phone way too much, and that's disrespectful. I'm not going to do that. We don't want that scenario to come up.
Nah, you don't. You know what? That's not. I don't think that you're putting your best foot forward.
No,
I think there are better first dates for you than that one. I don't know which one, but not that one. Go with a different one. I just didn't know. You know, I hadn't checked up on a while.
I know we haven't talked about
it. We always talk about doing a dating game in the summer, and then we don't do it.
Well, people are gone.
And then we try to decide if
we
should do it in the fall, and then we're like during football season, and then you know we just run into a whole source of issues. We got to do it eventually one of these times. My stance is still I'd like Taylor Swift to announce some new concert dates and to come here.
Oh.
And that we offer the opportunity to go on a date with Alex to a Taylor Swift concert as his plus one. And we make them speed date in the parking lot for Alex's plus one.
Do we have any restrictions going in?
You got to be 18 to 70.
18? I'm 33 years old.
Hang on.
No. Would you like it to be older than that?
Yeah.
I think you had a range originally. I think there's a range that you have, correct?
I think for this exact scenario.
For contest rules, I don't think we're legally allowed to say 25 and up. Maybe we could say 21, but I don't think we can say you have to be 25.
I am not. I'll just be honest. I'm not going on a date to a Taylor Swift concert with an 18-year-old. That's just not happening.
I probably also never let
That's
you live
not,
that down.
Not happening. If I think at bare, like the lowest, we're talking 25 to like a 40 something range.
Okay, 25, 45.
No, but I don't want to. I think have to speed date the 70-year-old. This is the whole part of it. I don't think you should just get to limit it to the actual range of people you date.
Gold's going
to
go on the date with the cicada lady that he ran into the other day.
And I don't think we should limit it to men or women because hear me out.
Sorry. Yes, we have no disrespect.
What if a guy makes a really good argument? Said, hey, me, you, two single guys out on the town, Taylor Swift concert, lots of women there.
Yeah.
Maybe I could play wingman for you. What if he makes a solid argument? Should we rule that out?
Yeah, unless this wingman is Travis Kelce. No, I'm
How
good.
Many people are going to a Taylor Swift concert, though, to find people to date? Like, I think you are
no, I just think like
late.
Love's in the air. You know, you're at a concert having a good
you're
time.
Right.
You have a drink.
Cody, you're right. Love's in the air. I am not going with another dude to the Taylor Swift concert. Just him and I. That's not happening. The
I
other
say,
part
I
of it could work.
I also don't think we're legally allowed to eliminate men from this contest. I don't know how this works. Mm-hmm. And in fairness, we scored a lot of legal rules, but now we're a big, powerful FM
That's
station.
True.
A 96.5 The Fan might have a closer eye on us, might be able to get away with the same stuff we used to get away with.
Yeah.
So someone says the age range is still your age divided by a half plus seven. Is that people still sticking with that? That was something I heard when we were like kids.
So it's 20,
24, right?
24, 25 for you, Gold.
So that's what we were. That's right. You're good.
Yeah.
I mean, the dating profiles, typically, I think I've told you, the age range is typically set like 27 to 35, 36.
There you go.
I definitely, it's an adjustment of thinking that, because I'll be 34 in January. It's just hearing the age, because it's weird. I'm much closer to 38 than 25.
You need to up that thing to 40. It's time, dude.
Yeah, I think.
I'm 40. Do I seem that much older than you? I'm 40?
Here's the
issue. Not quite, but I will be in 2 weeks.
Well, your example, what you just said, yes, because the adjustment for me, at some point I'll have to just be all okay with it, but I'm not there, which is
The
kids part. Or
either
divorce
they have
part.
Them or they don't want kids. Or divorce. You're not willing to date a divorce person?
Not yet.
That's really narrow.
Not yet. Well, I know.
Field.
At some point, Cody.
Still wants kids.
At some point, that will be something I'll just have to, it won't be a problem, I'm sure. But I'm still at that point. Maybe that changes when I turn 34.
So it's a great point. Alex balked at 18, but not 70 originally.
Well, we were just like, we didn't take it seriously. We're like, give me a break.
That was that range too, 18 to 70. That's
Cody. What are you? Cody's like all genders, all ages. You have to go to the Taylor Swift concert with. What?
That's the whole point of the speed dating. You don't know. Someone might surprise you in this list. You know.
Hang on.
Like I said, Cody, the guy could make a good argument for why you two running together could be better for both of
Cody,
you.
Cody, I'll use how old are your in-laws, I guess, or your parents? Like how
my parents were both born in 1958, so whatever, I guess that
60 something. Anyway.
Yeah.
So
66.
Theoretically, that's the range for that's included in Gold's range. I don't know about.
There's been somebody who's been offering to become Alex's stepkid on the text line for years.
Well, yes, that's true.
That's the random question that turned even more random of the day.
It turned into a different thing. Yeah.
Up next, we've got Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, going to join us. He's from The Athletic, and we unveiled a new name for the 1 o'clock hour on Fridays here on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.